Okay, let's open up some scriptures here. Acts chapter 2, which I referred to. Acts chapter 2. Title of this talk is Save Yourselves. So I'll read that reference. Acts chapter 2. Save yourselves. Okay, we'll read Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. It says, Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words he did testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. So we will, later on, we will read the start of this chapter. But Peter here is bringing it together to the people that are listening to him. Many people were there in Jerusalem from many places. They came to Jerusalem for this feast of Pentecost. And now here they ask Peter, well, what should we do to be right with God? And then verse 38, he just lays it all out there. Repent, receive the Holy Spirit. Repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit. And this promise of the Holy Spirit is unto us all, our children, and to all that are far off, in future, in time, in space. And then verse 40, it says, With many other words he did testify and exhort. So you can imagine Peter remains standing there talking to these thousands of people. We get an idea, it's at least 3,000. And he's testifying and exhorting. He keeps talking and encouraging these people to save themselves from this untoward generation. So that's the title of the talk, Save Yourselves. Okay? So Peter here wants you to save yourselves from this untoward generation. The people around us. So this is 2,000 years ago, and Peter is referring to this generation as untoward or crooked. Not good. And the generation that we all live in, I mean, it changes over the centuries. There's different things that happen that are focal points for all the generations, but it's always an untoward generation. The Spirit-filled people are always living in amongst an untoward generation. And Peter here is encouraging us to save ourselves, to take that step forward to save ourselves from this crooked generation so that we then are on the path of righteousness. You know, we're following the path of the Spirit, not the path of the flesh. Right? The path of the flesh, as I said before, leads to death, but the path of the Spirit leads to life. And that there, you know, it starts with that experience of repentance, baptism, and receiving the Holy Spirit. So save yourselves. Make that decision to save yourselves. And also us as Spirit-filled people, it's a constant thing, a constant mindset to turn away from the untoward generation and follow the things of life, the things of righteousness. So that doesn't stop. Over to Psalm chapter 34. And it says there, it's the Psalm of David in the title. Psalm 34 and verse 11. Psalm 34 and verse 11. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. And that's important, the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile or deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. So here, the Lord, it just says there a couple of times, the Lord listens to the cry of the righteous. He listens to them. So when we realize we want to be saved from this untoward generation, there's promises here that God will listen. He will hearken unto that. You know, the face of the Lord is against those that do evil, but it's for those, you know, that want to follow his ways. And it says there in verse 18, the Lord is nigh or near, close to them that are of a broken heart, and he saves those that are of a contrite spirit. You know, he lifts them up, those that are broken and dejected and exasperated. You know, Nina said in her testimony, she was just exasperated with what was going on here on earth in life. What's it all about? I don't get it. She was exasperated and she got saved. It says there, the word saved. The Lord saves such as be of a contrite spirit, you know, crushed in spirit. A very strong language here. But the Lord hearkens unto those people, that humility. And that's an important aspect of our life as well, is humility. Look, Lord, you're right, you know, like how can I compare to you? And how is it that what I do here on earth, how can that be counted as being right before you? You know, like our actions, it says our righteousnesses or our good works are like filthy rags. We need that spirit. We need to be filled with the spirit so that he can see perfection in us. Through the Spirit, he can miraculously ignore the shortcomings of the flesh. So he does hearken, he does hear. And what it says, at the start, in verse 11, it says, come ye children, hearken unto me, listen unto me. We've got the Bible here to read, and I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. Listen to what the Bible says, and we'll be taught how to fear the Lord. You know, what the Lord wants, in all humility, have that contrite heart, broken heart and contrite spirit before the Lord, you know, and he'll hearken unto the righteous call, the call of the righteous. Isaiah chapter 57, just to back that up. Isaiah chapter 57. And this I've read many times because I find it remarkable, this concept that's here in Isaiah chapter 57. There are verses in the Bible that explain the kingdom of God. And it's explaining the kingdom of God to people, you know, that have carnal minds. And there's just truly some phenomenal aspects about the kingdom of God that don't make sense to us. But we take what the Bible says as being true. And this here is just an amazing aspect of the kingdom of God. Isaiah chapter 57, just one verse here in verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. In other words, separate. You know, his name is separate from the evil. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And this thing, like God is in heaven, he's perfect, he's spirit. You know, as Brent said in his testimony, it's amazing how he created everything we see. He just spoke and it was. You know, his word, the movement of the spirit across the waters, and he just formed all these things that we see, this beauty. He just spoke. It's just phenomenal power that is in this God who is the spirit. And so, of course, he dwells in the high and lofty place. You know, heaven, as Brent said as well, as a child, like he thought God was just distant, just way up there, completely separate from the life that we lead here on earth. You know, he's just the high and lofty one in heavenly places. But then this remarkable thing, he dwells in that high and holy place with those people that are of a contrite and humble spirit. So us as human beings, if we have this contrite and humble spirit, we actually dwell with God. That's just absolutely phenomenal. It's like he's after those that are crushed in spirit. And the reason, he explains it here, the reason he's after those that are crushed in spirit is because they're at a place in their life where they can be rebuilt. Okay? Let's say they've led their life, they've built these things in their life, whatever it may be, careers, wealth, you know, possessions, whatever, ideologies, all sorts of stuff. They've led this life and these things can get in the way of what God wants in our lives. So God's looking for those that are crushed and realize, well, this stuff doesn't matter. It stays here on earth. And the reason he's looking for those people, so he can build up, he can revive. Revive, as I said, is relive. You know, give life to those people in the form that God wants. Now, okay, there's this humility before God. It's the life that God wants. But it turns out the life that what God wants in us is good for us. It's the best thing for us. It leads to eternal life. These other towers that we build up in our own life, they're going to lead to death. It's as simple as that. Our priority is God, to be crushed in spirit, to be humble, so that he can build us back up. He can build us back up in the form that he wants us to be. And that's the spiritual form. Okay? We lead this double life. We have the flesh and we have the spirit. We have to somehow crush the things of the flesh so the spirit can be built up, renewed. There's a great parable, and Jesus has referred to it a couple of times, where with plants, you hack it to pieces, you prune it, you knock off all the dead wood so it can flourish. And that's what I think of when I read of this, like you crush that plant, you mutilate, like a rose, you chop it to pieces and it's this mangled-looking stick, but it flourishes. Beautiful roses come out of it. It needs to be cut back. And that's what God's saying here. He dwells with those that are of a contrite spirit and a contrite and a humble spirit, so they can be revived and flourish and blossom before the Lord and be free and have this confidence before God, knowing that he does wonderful things in our life, you know. But it's up to us to save ourselves from this untoward generation, you know, what it represents. Psalm chapter 100, we'll read the whole chapter. Psalm 100. Psalm of praise, it says, a psalm of praise. Verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Whether you can sing in tune or not, it doesn't matter. You still make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands, or all ye peoples. Verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Okay, the abilities even that we have, it's not ourselves, it comes from God. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We follow Jesus as the good shepherd. Verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. So that's why. That's why we make a joyful noise to the Lord. That's why we serve him with gladness. That's why we come before his presence with singing and humility, acknowledging that he's made us and not ourselves. Why we do that? We enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. The reason we do that, it says in verse 5, for the Lord is good. The Lord is not evil. The Lord is good. And his mercy is everlasting. Okay, everlasting. It lasts forever, in other words. His mercy lasts forever and his truth endureth to all generations. His truth is word. He cannot lie, it says elsewhere. He is God. He cannot lie. So let's latch hold of what he says. Latch hold of his promises, you know. Like I said, read there in Acts chapter 2, if you repent and get baptized, his promise is that you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Okay? And then after that, it's all about what God can do in our lives. We've just got to follow his ways and look to him, praise him, be at peace. He's called us to peace and gladness. Okay? Back to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. Yeah, this is the one I was referring to before. It says in the title there, a psalm for the sons of Korah. They are the musicians in the temple. So this one was definitely sung as words of praise in the temple. And it says elsewhere, it refers elsewhere that the temple of praise is greater than the temple itself. You know, the temple was built by Solomon, we know that, but David built the temple of praise, which is far greater. So these all form part of this temple of praise. Psalm 84, verse 9, behold, O God, our shield, he's our protector, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. So that's referring to this untoward generation. Instead of dwelling in the houses of this untoward generation, those that oppose God, I'd rather be the doorman. I'd rather be cleaning people's feet at the doorway into God's house than to dwell in the luxurious mansions of the wicked. Verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. That's an important one, grace. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly, i.e. follow his ways. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in thee. Okay? So these are good things. Good things. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Save yourselves. Step away from it. The word holy is separate. Become holy and follow God. Follow his ways, and then you will be blessed because you trust in the Lord. You'll get answers. It's true. There's a room full of people here who can testify of that. You know, make that first step. Over to Colossians chapter 3 and start in verse 1. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, alive. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So Christ, it says there in verse 1, Christ is risen. He sits alive on the right hand of God. And so if we be risen with Christ, out of the waters of baptism, being filled with the Holy Spirit, then set our affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. Look away from this untoward generation. Because Christ is our life, he shall appear, and then shall we also appear with him in glory. So that's part of our hope, which I'll read later, is we have this amazing hope and assurity that Jesus will come back. As it says in Acts chapter 1, he'll come back the same way that he left, like through the clouds. So we look forward to that. And the amazing hope that we have is that we will also appear with him in glory as spiritual beings, shedding this vile body that will stay here on earth. And we'll be raised up to meet Jesus in the air and dwell with God forever. And then we can praise him forever. And that is what we look forward to. That's the purpose of life. We now know what life's all about. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, there's that word in mercy, we trust him because he's rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened or made us alive together with Christ. So even though we were so far from God, he still sent Jesus to die for us. He still called us, and he still managed to fill us with the Holy Spirit to make us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, that unmerited favour. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus, Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. Okay, that faith, that faith in God, that trust in God, when you turn and save yourselves from this untoward generation, there'll be amazing grace. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Grace comes from God. You don't earn it. The meaning is unmerited favour. So how can you earn it? Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Okay? God's called us. We know that before we're even born, he called us. He had a plan for a people, and he called us to be a part of that. And by faith, We have this great grace, and we then become the workmanship of Jesus Christ, the workmanship that's created in Jesus. And the workmanship that we should walk in those ordinances of God, you know? We're formed different. We were crushed down, and then God rebuilt us and formed us as the potter with the clay, as it says elsewhere in the Bible. Down to chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation. So there's that vocation, that workmanship that we've been called for a purpose, wherewith you are called. It's our vocation. This is now our profession, you know, to follow his ways, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, as Nina referred to, that patience. You know, we learn to be patient, knowing he's got it all in hand. Forbearing one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Okay? Then we all endeavour to keep unity, to follow, have that single mind of following God's ways in the bond of peace, because that's what God wants, is peace in our lives. Verse 4, there is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Right? We're filled with the Spirit. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So this amazing stuff that happened when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, it said he's led captivity captive. Okay, captivity can stay captive over there, but he gave gifts unto men. The Spirit, he set us free. He's called us above all, you know, up to himself. And we acknowledge there is only one Lord. There's one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. There's no others, you know. We try the spirits. We know that there is one word, you know, the Bible. This is the truth. This has been inspired by God. Yes, people wrote it, but they were inspired by God. And so it's God's word. It's a rock. It cannot be moved. Other ideas, other gods, other spirits, other lords, other types of baptism, you know, people call them baptism, you know, the sprinkling and so forth, that's other stuff that's not in the Bible. There's only one that leads to righteousness. And with all lowliness and meekness, we accept that his ways are right and not other ways, despite what we may feel or think. And then we get these amazing results. We have, as it says there in verse 7, but every one of us is given grace. Okay, we get that grace. It's not for no reason. Okay, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and down in verse 22. An amazing chapter, Romans chapter 8. It answers a lot of things, or brings a lot of things together about the spirit, the flesh, and condemnation, and how we are God's children. We're heirs, joint heirs. We're all equal before God. In fact, we're equal to Jesus before God. Romans chapter 8 and just down in verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. I really quite like that, the wording of these two verses. You know, all creation groans and travails in pain together, just waiting for sin to be taken away from the world. You know, sin is such a burden on this world. It leads to destruction. You know, we see the destruction in the world, like physically, but also in people's lives, you know, the sin. And so all of creation groans. You can imagine the trees are groaning in pain. Oh, take this sin away. The kangaroos on the side of the road, oh, the sin. You know, all of creation groans and travails in pain together. But then it says here, Paul says, not only they, but we also, you know, we're filled with the Spirit. We have the judgment in us, okay? We have this heightened sense of what's right and wrong. So when we're confronted with wrong, it shocks us. And we feel that this type of pain and this groaning within us, we have the first fruits of the Spirit, you know, through Jesus Christ. We groan within ourselves as we wait for the adoption. And that adoption is the coming of Jesus Christ, where we will be adopted and be a part of the spiritual kingdom of God, where we are now in here within us, but we'll be raised up to meet him in the air. Verse 24, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And we do, we patiently wait for it. Take each day as it comes. We're waiting patiently and eagerly for Jesus to come back. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That's why we need the Spirit too, to help us out, to encourage us, to build us up, to stay strong even though we're weak. For when you're weak, then you are strong. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, referring to speaking in tongues there. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, to be built up and reformed, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. And that's another important aspect. You know, I've mentioned before that we've been justified. We, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, being filled with the Spirit now, we have now been justified. We've been now judged as being right and righteous before God. And the reason that's the case is Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God, reminding him that they are right. Remember, God, I died for them. Remember, I laid my life down. I shed my blood. I died that they may be called righteous. Remember that. They have the Spirit as a result. All you can see is perfection. Remember that. So he's justified us as being perfect. And then it goes on, whom he justified, them he also glorified. Okay? Glorified to perfection. So wonderful verses there about the power of the Spirit, you know, and the impact that it has on our lives and other people's lives. And then also just the minute day-to-day thing, you know, which is so small compared to eternity, making intercession for us day to day as we pray in the Spirit and helping our infirmities and growing, letting us grow strong and confident. Back to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. So here I'll read the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2. This was the first time that people spoke in tongues. And it's recorded here very clearly in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 1 was relaying about some of the last words of Jesus Christ on earth, and it relays about how he was taken up into the clouds and how there are about 120 people who are waiting for the promise. And then finally in Acts chapter 2 verse 1, this promise comes onto these 120 people. They were humble, and they were contrite. They thought, we don't know what this promise is or what it means, but God's told us to wait. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. It would have been an amazing experience. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then from here, there's the explanation. People around were puzzled. What's going on here? It doesn't make any sense. And Peter stood up and explained it. And I will reread the verses I read at the start, down in verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. You know, they wanted to be right with God. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We're desperate. you know, teach us the fear of the Lord. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So let us stay focused on what God wants in our life, following his ways. Let us stay separate from this untoward generation. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. And so let's walk on so that we can be raised up to meet him in the air. We can trust him because his mercy endures forever. His grace is abundant. It's just a wonderful thing that God can do in people's lives if we just let him. Okay, thank you.